We are on the record.
All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is Fred Wilson. I'll be the hearings officer for today's public hearing. This is the time set aside for the public hearing in the appeal on the 11 engineering and design design review case. The file number is Z0233-20-D. Before I get into what I talk about for every public hearing, Ms. Ahrens is going to give a little talk about how this is going to work on the Zoom platform, how everybody can participate, hopefully answer any questions anybody has about that or put everybody's concerns at ease. So Ms. Ahrens, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. One moment. All right. Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during the coronavirus pandemic, so this public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. Audience members' video will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required by law. The county will make every effort to post the recording on the county website later today. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you want to provide testimony, you will utilize the raise hand feature. Attendees on both PC and iPad, you have a raise hand button on the Zoom bar, top or bottom, depending on the device. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who is speaking. Staff will call upon you when it is time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your mic will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of this hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, email written testimony to mahrens@clackamas.us, or you can mail it to the General Clackamas County Planning and Zoning Division, 150 Beaver Creek Road, Oregon City, Oregon 97045. The staff contact email address is also available on the webpage where you found the Zoom link for today's hearing. Testimony must be received by 4 p.m. on the day the record closes. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would like to receive the decision, you must provide your email or standard mailing address by email to the staff contact for the application or by entering it in the Zoom chat function during the hearing. That concludes the script for how the hearing is going to work.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Ahrens. So today will be an opportunity for people to testify, to discuss the evidence, to make legal arguments. I don't make a final decision today. There'll be a later written decision that comes out after the record's closed. There are a few things I have to talk about before every public hearing. I need to disclose whether I've had any ex parte contacts. That's any discussions about the merits of the case before today. I haven't. The only thing I know about this case is what I've received from the planning department that's in the planning file and the decision that's being appealed. I also need to disclose whether I'm biased, whether I'm for or against the application for any reason other than the merits of the case. And I'm not. I don't have any reason to feel one way or the other. I'm not familiar with the parties or the property, so I'm not biased. Finally, I need to disclose whether I have any conflicts of interest. I don't. I'm in private practice in Salem. I don't have any private clients in Clackamas County, let alone anywhere near the subject property. And I don't own property in Clackamas County or have family that owns property in Clackamas County. If you haven't been to one of these hearings before, the way it's going to work is we will start with the staff report from Ms. Ahrens. After that, the applicant will have an opportunity to present their case, and then anybody part of their team who wants to testify. Then if anybody, I think everyone here is part of their team, but if there's anybody else who shows up who wants to testify in favor of the application, they get a chance to testify. And then we turn to people who are opposed to the application. I think right now it's just Mr. Knepper, who's the appellant. He'll have an opportunity to testify. Then Ms. Ahrens will have a chance to respond to any issues that come up. And finally, the applicant will have an opportunity for final rebuttal. I know it's a little different since this is an appeal of the decision, and I think that the issues are actually pretty focused. So Ms. Ahrens might not have to go through every single part of the staff report. It's up to her or the applicant. We might just concentrate on what Mr. Knepper's issues are, but that's up to the applicant. Also, a few other things I have to talk about under state law and local ordinance. If you do testify, make sure, I think we have everybody's name, but just so it shows up on the record, give us your name and address when you begin testifying. please direct your testimony to the approval criteria. They are listed in the decision that's being appealed. They're primarily the design review approval standards. Make sure you raise any and all issues you have. Don't raise those issues under state law. You may be precluded from raising them in the future. If there are any further proceedings or appeals of this case, file the applicant, their number of proposed or the number of conditions of approval in the decision. If you have any problems with those, make sure you raise those issues. If you think they may be unconstitutional takings or anything like that, if you don't raise those issues, you may be precluded from raising them in the future as well. With that, I think we can turn to the staff report.
Thank you. Bear with me while I screen share the PowerPoint here. All right, can everyone see that? Is that coming through okay?
I can see it.
Okay. If anyone has any issue, let me know. One moment, let me go full screen. Well, it's not letting me do that. So we'll just proceed like this. All right, today it's the appeal hearing for design review, land use decision Z0233-20. The site address is 1466 Southeast Anderson Road. The design review application, was for a new 7,749 square foot office for a landscaping company and associated warehouse storage building that was attached to the office structure. The scope of work includes construction of the new building, improved site access, parking and circulation, there were right-of-way improvements required, landscaping improvements, a new septic system, and other associated site improvements. The design review application was approved with conditions, and you can see those in section 2 in the land use decision. Let's see here. The appeal was submitted on September 28th. The main concerns raised in the submittal form were compliance with the code concerning stormwater management and gravel road and property line verification. In communication with the applicant on the phone and via email, it's clear he has some concerns about the property line boundary between his adjacent property and the applicant's property subject of the design review, and additionally an adjacent property that is in common ownership the applicant also owns but is not subject of the design review today. The site is located on Anderson Road. You can see it's outlined there in blue, highlighted in yellow. And here is a close-up view. There was previously a mobile home on the property. However, that was allowed to be demolished through a building permit that's been issued. Here's the proposed site plan. During the design review process where we were issuing staff's decision, the main issues we looked at that came up were associated with septic. So the applicant actually told the clock to work out any remaining issues with our septic department. Those were all resolved before the decision was issued. Additionally, there were comments received during the initial noticing period related to the adjacent historic, I think it's a historic school on the property, kind of right in between that notch in that L shape. And I have the, I think it's a tax lot 500, and I can zoom in here, go back. So it's 14711, that's where the historic school is. So we included findings and a condition of approval number 5 to ensure compliance with section 1004 of our zoning and development ordinance make sure that historic resource on the adjacent property was protected. Here are is an elevation view. So you can see there's an accessory storage building attached to the main office building that was proposed. The design review was noticed according to our procedures of the Zoning and Development Ordinance, Section 1307. There were property owners 300 feet from the subject property lines, and interested parties were noticed. Let's see, we received, I think there were three comment letters for the initial decision. Those were all attached as exhibits. So if you look at the original decision, you can review those. Most of the issues in those were related to protection of the historic resource, like I already talked about. For notification of the appeal, we received one response from the applicant, which is Exhibit 7. And that was an email with associated attachments. We also received a comment from an adjacent neighbor with concerns that we will be addressing today, along with the appellant's concerns.
So did we, I just want to make sure I have everything. I have those exhibits that were submitted before the actual decision. The only thing I have after the decision is the appeal form from Mr. Knepper. And then there's a short email with that too. So is that everything that's been submitted?
Michelle should have emailed you a link to Exhibit 7 and 8. So Exhibit 7 is the email from the applicant with attachments, and that was also sent to you last week. But we formalized it and labeled everything. That was sent out, should have been sent out yesterday. The comment from the neighbor received by via email, which is Exhibit 8, is just the short email. So that should all be linked and attached. Okay. If not, you can refer back to the email that I had sent to you last week with everything forwarded.
Okay.
And I can also try to pull it up if we need it pulled up. The applicant's email and attachments were responding to some of the appellant's concerns and property line issues, things like that. And I'm sure the applicants here, they can maybe explain more in detail too and go over what they submitted if needed. All right, so the main issues raised by the appellant in their submitted application and their appeal form and attachments, as well as the comment email, Exhibit 8, that we received from the neighbor, included the following, really centered around unpermitted development occurring on the property, on the subject site, storage of trailers, trucks, construction equipment. There's concerns from the appellant about stormwater issues on site and proper permitting related to stormwater. There's traffic impacts, I guess, occurring with construction and trailer trucks going in and out of the property at odd hours and very frequently. And again, there are property line issues. The appellant's claiming there's development and storage of materials occurring onto his adjacent property line. So the issues raised that were addressed in the decision are summarized in the next two slides. So again, the design review decision was limited to approval of a landscaping office and accessory storage building. There were, again, other site improvements, including septic system and stormwater, parking areas, landscaping. The subject property is zoned rural commercial, or RC. It's regulated by Section 513 of the County Zoning and Development Ordinance. The RC zone allows offices as a primary use, including administrative offices, business offices, corporate, government, professional offices. And then the proposed warehouse was allowed as an accessory use to the landscaping office because it was for accessory storage related to the landscaping business and office. If there was storage of heavy trucks, tractors, construction equipment proposed, that would have been a conditional use. It wouldn't have been allowed through the design review process. It would have been a separate conditional use application. So that's not something that we approved through this design review decision. It sounds like there are potentially valid concerns with what's going on the site with the amount of trucks and trailers going on and off property, but that's not something that the design review approved or was looking at. So it's not something considered in the design review. Other issues addressed in the design review decision, stormwater. We looked at that in findings in section 4E of the decision, page 17, and we attached condition of approval number 9, which requires the applicant to get a permit from our engineering department to work with them to finalize their stormwater plans to make sure that they're compliant with the requirements of our engineering department. And our engineering department, as I understand it, is currently working with the applicant. They have a pending engineering permit application. And I'm not sure exactly what the status is, but nothing has been issued on that yet. It's in process. The application for design review was initially approved by our engineering department. There was no traffic study required or significant traffic impacts identified because of the nature of the office and accessory storage warehouse. We included condition of approval 7 through 10 to ensure that the project met engineering standards per section 1007 and 1015 of the Zoning and Development Ordinance. And again, the proposed development and use was determined to be compliant with the allowable primary and accessory uses in the rural commercial zone. So issues raised by the appellant, as well as the comment letter we received from the neighbor, Exhibit 8, include the property line concerns about development and storage occurring over the property line, work and development occurring on an adjacent property in common ownership, and then unpermitted development and storage of construction vehicles on the subject site. So the appellant and the neighbor who submitted the comment letter, we have talked to them over the phone and in email form to direct them to work with our code enforcement staff as well as our engineering staff for the stormwater concerns to resolve outstanding code compliance issues. It's been communicated if there's development going on site right now, storage of trash, hazardous materials, that would be a code violation. It's not something that was approved or analyzed as part of this design review decision. So the appropriate way to resolve those concerns would be through our code enforcement department. As such, staff is recommending to uphold the staff decision with all conditions of approval with no changes. We've analyzed the issues previously discussed in the decision. It's an allowable use in RC zoning. Any concerns, issues we needed to make sure the project was compliant with the zoning and development ordinance were included as conditions of approval in the original decision. So staff would be recommending to uphold the decision and not make any changes to the conditions of approval. The applicant did toll the clock on the project from August 6th to September 11th of this year to work out septic permitting issues. So the 150th day for permitting deadlines would be December 28th. And I am available if there's any questions or we need follow-up, but that concludes staff's presentation.
Okay, thank you. So the two issues that Mr. Nepa raised in his notice of appeal were one was compliance with stormwater management in the gravel road. What is the issue there? What is the potential problem? Because the condition of let me ask that first. What's the potential problem there?
I'm not 100% clear. He's just said he's concerned with it not being constructed properly. And this has been in phone conversation with him and I think email to some degree where I explained that our engineering department's looked at it initially and they would be the ones issuing the final permit. So it's more appropriate for them to work out those details before they issue the construction permit.
And so you say there's a condition of approval about that. Is that just 9C, sub 1? Which exact condition addresses stormwater management.
Let me bring it up. One moment, bear with me. I can screen share. All right, can you see that okay?
All I see is the appeal request part.
Okay, hang on one moment, let me switch. All right, can you see this is the decision we're showing now?
Yeah.
So condition number 9 there, they would need, basically all of this is packaged as part of the permit that engineering would be issuing. So these are the requirements that we've received from the engineering department to include as part of their review. And stormwater would be something that they're looking at as part of this engineering development permit.
Yeah, the only thing I saw in there was sub C, sub 1, Roman numeral 1, where it just says, the permit will be for road, driveway, curb, sidewalk, drainage. So that word drainage is the only thing I see that's in there about stormwater management. Am I missing something?
No, and that's typical. That's just kind of, they look at stormwater as part of this overall development permit. So site drainage, the applicants submitted initial plans that they've reviewed, but the specifics of the drainage and stormwater has to be done through the stormwater permit that engineering would issue. So they're digging into those specifics as part of that process.
Right. And I saw that there's a preliminary statement of feasibility from Sunrise Water Authority regarding water.
Right.
Is there, and it looks like in this case, the county is actually the authority for stormwater management. Is there a statement of feasibility from the county on that?
Yeah, I believe there was something in the file that they were engineering was required to sign. I'm not sure who signed it though. I could go back.
Okay, well, we can ask that. The applicant probably can answer that better. Their expert. I saw in the decision it talks about a preliminary statement of feasibility on water, but it doesn't say anything about it. Preliminary statement of feasibility regarding stormwater.
Yeah, that's usually a filing requirement. So,
okay. And so, what is the issue with the property line? Is there it sounds like it's in dispute about where the actual property line is, or is it just that they may or may not be going over where the undisputed property line is?
I believe it's a mixture of both. Issues. The appellant wanted a survey performed. I've explained the county doesn't provide that service. That's a kind of private property line dispute issue. Normally a private surveyor would be hired in that situation. I'm not exactly sure which part of the property he is, because the applicant owns two different properties. It's a little blurry to me from what the appellant has communicated and submitted where exactly the property line dispute is.
So normally, like you said, that would just be something they'd have to work out outside of this process. And obviously if they're storing stuff on the wrong side of the line, that would be a problem, but it wouldn't be a basis for denial of design review. The only thing I can think of is if the property line's in dispute and Mr. Knepper is correct and say it's 5 feet over the way he says it is, that could cut into required setbacks. Is there any issue with that? Or is the building far enough away that even if Mr. Knepper's right about everything, they're okay?
There's no concern with the property lines per it. What we've looked at for the submitted site plan matches the tax map, and the applicant submitted a survey actually. So there's no concern on our end that there would be non-compliance with setbacks because of an incorrect property line.
Okay. But what is the set? I'm not sure which piece of exactly where the, just from that map, which one is the, is Mr. Knepper, but is there, whatever the setback is exactly what the setback is, or do they have a little wiggle room?
So if you can see this property, hang on one second. Can you see the aerial view?
Yeah. And so the little, is this now like oriented with north at the top of the screen?
Yes.
Okay, because the other site plan, it's tilted. So the southwest, just to the southwest in that notch, that's the historic school, right?
Right. And Mr. Knepper's property, as I understand it, is 19690.
Okay, to the west. Okay.
So when I talked to him, it seems the majority of his concern is with the property in common ownership at 14577.
Okay, so directly to the north. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where his property line dispute is, or is it the whole length?
I'm not sure if it's exclusive to 14577, but from what he submitted and my communication with him, it seems like that is the main issue area for him.
Okay. Well, we'll let the parties address that and then get back to you if we need to. So, all right. Thank you. Those are my main questions. So, I think now we can turn it over to the applicant for their presentation. Thank you.
Okay, so my name is Nate Carter. I'm with 11 Engineering and Design, the architect of record for this development. So I guess we'll just start at the top with the stormwater. We have a professional civil engineer involved to deal with the stormwater management, and we are working through that with the county. The plans that were submitted as part of the design review were just preliminary plans to flush out any issues the county would see and to get solid direction so we could work with the engineering department. And that's in process. We have to get erosion control permit and stormwater permits from them as well. And we're going to be in full compliance with the county. There's no reason not to be. The site works pretty well. During their survey, we noticed that the site slopes more to the northeast than it does towards Mr. Knapper's property. So we're dealing with our stormwater stuff there. I can pull up the stuff that we submitted for exhibits if you don't have it. If I can share my screen, would that work for you, Mr. Wilson?
Sure.
Okay. So let's see here. Can you see everything all right?
Yes.
Okay. Let me see here. Here's the boundary survey that Valleyscapes did that we worked off of that kind of shows the parcels. North is to the left. So parcel two is the one in which we're developing. That shows, you know, the proper lines in which we worked off of. Let's see what else. We have recently performed, where did it go? A hydrology report, which I think is right here. Our civil engineers performed this hydrology report, and this was submitted as part of our record last week, I think. And according to this, there shouldn't be any issues with stormwater crossing property lines. And then as a part of that, we have updated our plans here to show how we're going to mitigate that. We plan on putting a trench drain right here, oops, around the gravel, which has been modified from our previous submission to be less. And then we have underground storm lines around the building that are connecting to our downspouts. All of this stuff connects to a catch basin, which goes to the manhole, which goes to a filter, vegetated filter system. And then that connects down to the city system. So there shouldn't be any issues moving forward with this. Again, we're working with the county to flesh out details and get approval that we're meeting standards. And then the property line dispute, I mean, that's, we've had that surveyed and not sure where those are at the moment. you can see, I think the big concern would, from what I've read, is this area down here that shows the fence line actually on Valleyscape's property and then along the property line. And this was done, I think this was done in 2018. I saw it on here somewhere.
And so the dispute seems to be on parcel one, which is not the parcel that's the subject of this application.
I think that's the bulk of the concern. I think he is also concerned about the fence line that runs all the way down his property, so that would include parcel two. Part of this development, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to ask you, so what is the, or Ms. Aarons, what is the required setback from, because the building looks like it's, the proposed building for this application looks like it's set farther away from Mr. Knepper's property than the stuff on parcel one. What's the required setback and what is the setback?
On which property line? So
where the proposed building, the design review building that we're talking about for this case, mm-hmm. how far, what is the required setback from Mr. Knepper's property? I guess that would be to the west. And then how far is the building actually proposed to be away from that property line?
Let me look really quickly, one moment. Had to unmute, sorry. the dimensional standards would require a front yard depth of 30 feet and side and rear yard depths of 10 feet, except when they're abutting a residential zone, when the rear side setback would be 20 feet. So I believe because the adjacent property is residential, it was a 20 foot setback on that property line.
Okay, and how far is the building proposed to be away from the property line?
20 feet from the site.
Well, that's what I was sort of getting at. If it's exactly the 20 feet and it turns out Mr. Knepper's right and say, I mean, I don't know what he's arguing, but just for example, if he was arguing that the property line's actually 2 feet closer to the building, then all of a sudden you don't meet the 20 foot setback anymore. So that's the issue I'm trying to get to. So we have a survey that shows that it is 20 feet away from the property line.
Well, we have a survey. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You're fine.
We have a survey locating the property line, and we've built off of that survey. So when we get to construction, we will do construction staking to make sure that we are 20 feet away from the property line. The way the site is laid out, we are, you know, the front setback is 30 feet and we have wiggle room to move it towards the street if we find that the property line and the survey don't match up. We have probably, I want to say about 8 feet of difference there, maybe 10. The building isn't perfectly parallel to the property line, so it varies a little bit.
Okay. I just want to make sure that if, you know, worst case scenario comes out that you have enough wiggle room to move it to get it in the right spot. It sounds like you do.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
Thank you. All right, I'll let you get back to your presentation, Mr. Carter. Thank you, Ms. Aaron.
Oh, yes. So those were the three issues that we are aware of. When it comes to the conditional use and the heavy truck storage, we didn't submit it with heavy trucks being a part of this development or construction equipment. This was more for their utility trucks, which are your standard pickup size, maybe a 1 ton, but they're not big dump trucks. They're not excavators or large excavators. They probably have a couple Bobcats or skid steers or something like that. But it was not intended to have heavy equipment a part of this development. So that's why that wasn't included in submission. Traffic concerns, I'm not 100% sure what those are. It sounds like it's pulling trailers in and out of the site to the north. So I'm not even 100% sure how to address that at this time. And then as far as unpermitted work, I'm not aware of any of that as well. Maybe the gentleman from Skyscapes can speak to that.
Okay. I'd like to All add right. one thing if I could.
Sure.
Mr. Wilson, you mentioned or asked about a preliminary statement of feasibility, and we did provide that with our application. And if you would like to see it, I can show it to you. I pulled it up on my screen, but it was submitted and signed by the county official, Sally Curran.
And that's for the stormwater management program plan?
Correct.
Okay. No, that's just, I just need to know that it was there since that's the kind of the required approval criteria.
Yep. It Thank was you. Submitted. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. So that's about all I have unless Adam or Dustin, if you guys want to chime in about any of these issues, since you're the property owner. Adam, you're muted.
Perfect, thanks. If it's okay, Mr. Wilson, I'm Adam Lowry, one of the property owners. The other property owners on the call as well, John Clark. My address is 264 Southeast 41st Court in Gresham, 97080. I guess it seems like everything that has been brought up has nothing to do with the parcel that we're talking about as far as the complaint that's come through as far as heavy equipment storage and doing unpermitted work, which we haven't. But we did have to adapt those properties to fit our business as we had to move out of our existing location into this new location. And we haven't got the land use permit yet, which has put us in a position to utilize the property to, again, store our trucks and trailers, to have our crews deploy from there and then return. Most recently, we've added some containers for green waste, not for trash or recycle, but actual green waste clippings, leaves. And then we haul those green waste containers out every day down to a property that we have in Salem that John Clark owns. We did rent some equipment to do some digging to make these containers fit for our purpose of hauling the green waste. We also, in the parcel in question, parcel two, currently we are utilizing Connex containers to store equipment and other tools so that we can have a place to keep them out of the elements. We're really making use. And I think once we get this land use permit approved and we get the building permit approved, our design is to really be out of sight, out of mind around that area. And I think it's going to be a much more effective use of our of that location. And it's the purpose that we're building the warehouse. And the majority of the build is the warehouse and not very much office space. And so I think once this is accomplished, hopefully the sooner the better, will be much more attractive to our neighbors around us. But where we sit right now, we're just trying to make do until we can get work through this land use permit. So to Nate's point earlier, we did have the property surveyed. So we are operating off of a survey company that we hired from Damascus that came out and did survey the property line. So it is our understanding that any contention that Gary might have as far as property lines would be the burden of proof would be on him to show that those are different, whether he gets that property surveyed and comes up with different conclusions, but we've done our part. And I think finally, I have had several conversations with Gary. He is really wanting to sell that property. He has called me multiple times asking me to buy that property. And we have not engaged in any type of offer as we want to work through this dispute. He's also met with Dustin Webinger, who's also on the call several times and trying to negotiate what he would sell that property for. We just want to get through this process. We want to make the best use of this property purchase and get this building done so that we can operate in a fashion that we've talked about. We have presented to the county. They've approved it. We just want to go on as business as usual. And I think that once the building is built, it'll be a real nice footprint to the community there.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Webb.
John, do you want to add anything?
I'm actually going to jump in here, John. Hold on just one second, if you don't mind. Couple clarifications to Adam's statement. The dumpsters in question are not on the parcel of property that we are looking to develop. They are actually on the northern property, and that is where the excavation in the ground took place. Number two, I'm actually the individual that ordered the site survey, the property boundary survey through CMT surveying there in Damascus. And to my knowledge, the only deviation on the fence line on that piece of on the property line in question is actually on the northern piece of property, and it is to Mr. Knepper's favor. So that's my understanding of it. As far as heavy equipment storage, there isn't any on the second parcel for the most part. The dump truck is stored on the northern piece in the gravel parking lot, which to my knowledge is not against the code for that piece of property. Also, as Adam stated, the connexes are there. That is to store the equipment that it would normally be stored within the warehouse. And upon completion of the building, those connexes will be leaving. Also, as you can see in some of the pictures, and Nate can probably pull them up, I don't have access to them currently from my laptop. I sent some pictures. I took some measurements off the property line, and every connex on that piece of property in question is at least 1 to 2 feet on our side of the property line. So, okay. But that's the bulk of what I have.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. And just to be clear, we're only talking about parcel two. We're not talking whatever's going on parcel one. I mean, there might be a process for that. It might be code enforcement. There might be another land use application coming, but that's not involved in today's case or the decision that will come out on this case.
Okay. But yeah, I just want to make it very clear that there has been no digging down, no like serious excavation on the upper property, other than there's some gravel for the access, for construction access at this point. And of course, when I personally demolished the house that was on site, by permit that we had, and I had some roll off dumpsters that were coming and going for that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Webinger. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else from your team, Mr. Carter, who wants to testify?
I don't know, John, do you have anything to say?
No, I think Dusty and Adam spoke to anything that I would speak about.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then, Brian, I take it your team has said their piece.
Yeah, we're available to answer any questions Mr. Wilson may have in regards to any of the civil issues, stormwater issues. You know, we're working through the final design on that with the county engineering. And so far, we haven't really encountered any technical issues. It's all just been, getting it submitted, reviewed, and updated, and that kind of thing. It's normal process for us with the county.
Okay, great. Yeah, the main thing is I wanted to know about the statement of feasibility, so preliminary statement of feasibility. I do see we've had a couple attendees come in. I don't know who they're with, so if there's anybody else who wants to testify in favor of the application, now would be the time to raise your hand and let us know. Oh, thank you.
So that's the statement of feasibility that we have submitted.
Perfect, thanks. It doesn't look like anyone else is raising their hand to testify in favor. So I think we will turn it over to Mr. Knepper for his presentation. Hope I'm saying your name right. You're still muted, Mr. Knepper, if you're trying to talk to us. There we go.
Hello, this is Hi. Gary Knepper. My address is 24348 South Skyline Drive at Canby, Oregon. And I want to bring some items of concern to us. We have reviewed the design review that has been approved. We got it about a week. We had about a week to get it, to review it before the deadline for filing an appeal. And one of our main concerns is dealing with water runoff, because we have a good well on the property, and it's 86 feet from the property line. In trying to find out what they were going to do with runoff, because half of that property that's being developed, the contours show that it's sloping towards our property, which means we're going to have half of the runoff come in our direction. And if you're going to add to that a gravel road and parking areas and a building of that size, you're going to create a lot more runoff. Now, in trying to find out how they were going to manage the stormwater, we went to the design review that had been approved, and we didn't find anything on it. So we go to the application, which is plans C5, civil plan 5, and we find that there's a lot of discrepancies between the two plans. The plan, the design review plan, shows a setback area on the west boundary of the development property, and shows a setback of 20 feet there in a landscaped area. Now, if you go to the civil plan 5, it shows a gravel road extending from the north parcel all the way to Chitwood Road along the west boundary. Now, so we also on the civil plan, they show they started to do some, I guess, preliminary work on a detention pond over in the northeast corner there, which we tried to get a copy of the preliminary drainage report and also the grading permit. And we have never been able to get that. And then all of a sudden yesterday, why it shows up. Now, if you go to the feasibility report, or the last page of it, where it is signed off on the May 1st, 2020, by the county, it says adequate surface water treatment and conveyance is available. And that's the feasibility report and that. But the front page on this preliminary hydrology report didn't come out until November 20. So when we got this yesterday and tried to review it last night, and we see some items of concern in there, is that they've redesigned it from the original C5 plans that came out when they put in the application, and they've increased the size of the detention pond and also connected it to a road on the west with trench drains along the gravel road. Now, the design review building on there shows a door on the west and a door on the south, and no gravel road. But when you go to the civil plan, it shows a gravel road from one end of the property to the other, with possibly connecting to the north parcel. Now, I don't know how this is going to work out, but when you got heavy equipment running all over this property all summer long and fall, and what's the filtration rate on it for this detention pond? Because they're possibly going to have runoff from the whole property when you got it compacted like that. And a picture that I sent in last night will show where they dug the they put in a retainer wall on the north parcel, but it's real close to the property line. But all the dirt that was excavated and was dumped on the right over the area where their detention pond's going to be. And plus gravel that's been hauled in there and a lot of dirt being moved. So we thought that if you're moving that much dirt, there must be a grading permit involved. But so far, we haven't been able to find out anything on that. So that's a concern with water runoff from this whole area. And if that filtration rate on that thing is altered because of all the heavy equipment running over it and dump trucks and excavators and all that stuff. And a picture that I sent to Melissa last night shows water standing in that trench about a foot deep where the retainer wall is put in there, which all this water was runoff apparently that came from the property that's being developed, and plus water puddles out in the area where it doesn't soak down. So I think that infiltration rate should be checked on it, just like you check a septic system and see if they're going to work, if they're going to perk. Now, when you get to the south end of the property where it joins Chitwood Road, they say that there's no contours on there, so it hasn't been surveyed there, but it slopes towards Chitwood Road. And they say that's in their hydrology report that area is not going to be developed. Well, it's already been developed. There's been gravel hauled in there and nursery stock stored on it. And it's about a foot higher in elevation than our property next door, which if the water runoff from there is going to go directly over our drain field. And I don't know what their plans are for that, but there's nothing in the report that's showing how they're going to collect that rainwater and runoff from that area. And based on the amount of equipment stuff they got there, some of it's already parked on there. And they ran out of room last fall, and I allowed them to park vehicles on a portion of our property there so they could have room to work over there. And I'm not doing all this stuff just to create hard feelings and stuff. We welcome the development, and the property line issue is something that we can work out. And the reason I brought it up is that the survey markers have been torn out on the south end of the property and also on the north end, and they were just stuck back in there. And when my parents bought the property, our property in 1962, they had it surveyed, and they put a fence up 6 inches on our side of the property. And most of that fence now has been destroyed by the previous owners, not by the people that are working there now. When they started working there, there's 10 containers sitting on the property now, and some of them are over the property line. And this is not an issue that I want to make a big deal out of, because it's something that we can work out. But the stormwater issue is our main concern. And I don't agree with their assumption that all this is going to run to the northeast, because all that dirt that was excavated out of their trench and stuff has been piled in that area, and plus all the compaction and stuff. So I don't know what the calculations are going to come up on where they're getting rid of this water, but I would be skeptical of it. I guess the property line issue is probably within a foot or two of where that fence is, and I think we can resolve that. So I guess the other concern is that if they're going to connect this property to the north property, there's going to be another road that has to go through there or something, and how they're going to handle the runoff from that would be increasing the area that can absorb water. And I guess the issue with the building having the doors on the west and south is it's pretty clear that they're going to be using that as a road and not the landscape area like your design review plan shows. So that's, I guess that's my main concerns for now. And if you have any questions, well, I'd be happy to address them.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Knepper. No, I think you made your points about the stormwater management. So I understand that. So no further questions. Is there anybody else out there who wanted to testify in opposition to the application? This would be the opportunity to raise your hand and testify. Looks like we don't have anybody, Ms. Renhard. Okay, thanks. All right, Ms. Ahrens, this is your opportunity to respond to anything if you'd like.
I'm sorry, we do have a hand up.
Oh, okay.
We have an attendee named John.
So, John, if you could give us your full name and maybe spell your last name and give us your address before you testify, that would be helpful.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
My name's John Peterson. I live at the 14810 Southeast Anderson Road. My big concern is the traffic from them. We all have kids around here that the traffic from them is just unbearable. And there is a stop sign there on the corner of Chitwood and Anderson in my house. I can look right out my window all day long and watch it. And not a single one of their employees will stop at that stop sign when they're coming through there. And business is great. I hope you guys do well, but the traffic and the running of the stop signs and not paying attention with kids around here doesn't work for me. And that's all I wanted to say.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Peterson. So nobody else, Ms. Renhard? Okay. All right. Back to you, Ms. Ahrens.
Thank you. Just two quick things we want to address. There's been no grading permit applied for with the building department at the county. They have certain thresholds of requiring a grading permit. I don't know if the amount of grading proposed on the site would necessitate a grading permit through building. That would be something the applicant could maybe speak to. There is an engineering permit under review right now. It's SC005920. So it's my understanding engineering is currently reviewing that. I think Dina Mulder has been working with the applicant to some degree on that. But there are no other active grading permits. There's a building permit in review, but we haven't signed off for planning yet because it's related to the development proposed in the decision, the design review decision. So that's on hold until the design review is, the appeal is finalized and we receive your decision. So we just have the building permit on waiting for information right now. And again, that includes all of the proposed development. So there is inherently grading in there. It's just, there's a different process through building if you need a full grading permit per the building code. In terms of the engineering plans, there's always some changes that occur from the original submittal of stormwater, at least in my experience, as they're working, the applicants working through with our engineering department, they fine-tune certain things with in terms of the detention ponds, things like that. There are usually minor changes, and that's kind of part of that process that goes on with the engineering department as part of their permit review.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Mr. Carter, now is your opportunity for final rebuttal.
Yes, so I think the property line concerns are something that can be easily resolved through the surveys that have been done. So getting back to the stormwater management, that is something that, you know, we're going to work through. We're not going to have runoff onto his property. It's something that we're working through with the county and the engineering department. and we're going to finalize our designs. We had a preliminary hydrology report done. It didn't do any test pits or any of that. It just pulled up historical data. So we can design our vegetative filters to handle the runoff. We have drains in place. We have trench drains. We have catch basins in place to prevent it. As far as the pile of dirt next to the retaining wall, that was put there after our survey and is not a part of this development. So that will be removed as part of our grading for this site to help mitigate the stormwater runoff. The grading plan clearly shows the contours sloping towards the northeast and a little bit to the north. At this point, it's just a matter of getting through the process and finalizing the engineering and the design and making sure we, you know, all these concerns are met. We have no intention of not meeting these concerns. We're just in the middle of a process to get to the final result to alleviate any of Mr. Knepper's concerns.
So if it turns out Mr. Knepper's right, that part of the property drains towards his, the county is going to require you to capture that and meet all the standards for that, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, all right.
Either through grading or through adding storm drains or something along those lines. There's several different options to handle it.
Okay, thank you.
We are also required as part of the planning to put landscaping along that west property line. So that's going to capture any minor residual runoff that would not be caught in the drains.
Okay.
But that was part of the conditions of approval, was to extend that buffer. Brian or Adam, do you guys have anything else to add?
Yeah, I would just echo that there has been no development or grading on the parcel that's in question at all at this time.
Okay. All right.
And I would echo Nate's statements that this is just the normal process that we go through at the land use decision process. Those stormwater facilities are just a preliminary design. And now that we're moving into the permit stage, that's when we finalize the design. And that's why we're seeing an evolution of that design and those concerns addressed in terms of capturing stormwater, not letting it run off to the adjacent properties. I'm very, very confident that we can achieve that goal.
Okay. All right. And just for Mr. Knepper's benefit, the standard is basically they can show that it's feasible to capture the stormwater runoff.
Correct.
Okay. That was all the questions I had. If that is all the applicant has to add, we can wrap up. It sounds like it is. So with that, we'll close the public hearing. That'll be the end of the public testimony. There have not been any requests to leave the record open. Is that correct, Ms. Ahrens? There's nothing I didn't see that requested to leave the record open.
I've seen no requests come through from the appellant, although I don't know if he wants an opportunity to speak.
Just to clarify, Mr. Carter, in case stuff that's come in since the decision, there you're not requesting to leave the record open. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Well, with that, we can also close the record. So there'll be a written decision that should come out 3 weeks at the latest, hopefully sooner than that. So thank you, everybody. Appreciate everybody's testimony today.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.